Good morning. It's 11 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I don't know if your Easter time with family and relatives yesterday was pleasant. If it wasn't, because you have a challenging relative, we're going to talk about that this morning with Dr. Linda Mintel. Of course, you know her from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show on weekends here on Faith Radio. Linda, welcome.
Good morning. And mine was wonderful because I had no relatives.
So,
no offense to my relatives.
Of course not. And yet you're the authority to speak on difficult relatives this morning. I expected to have some war stories from you this morning.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, and it's sad, and a lot of people are in this position, I don't live near my family. So I did have my grown kids and my husband and I, but we had a bunch of college students over who didn't have any place to go for the holiday. So we had a real different kind of celebration because my family's just too far away to get together for a long weekend.
Mm-hmm. So what about the challenging relatives, or maybe you're the challenging relative? How do we get through that?
Well, I got a lot of challenging relatives, and the topic that we're talking about today really does kind of play home because my parents, my father especially, was very, very driven to make sure that we had the kind of education and we did the kinds of things that he never had opportunity to do. And you could say that because of that, there were a lot of high expectations in our family, and it causes... High expectations are great when they're somewhat realistic, but when people are pushed to do more than they actually feel comfortable doing, that can create some problems. And that's what we see is behind sort of a perfectionistic approach to life, where you're just really pushing either other people or pushing yourself to be so perfect that it actually almost does the reverse of what you want it to do, which is not reach those expectations and in the process create a lot of problems along the way.
Don't we set ourselves up for just huge failure when you're trying to make everything perfect and you go, nothing's going to be perfect and it's just your family together. So why is there so much stress on things being perfect?
Well, behind you think about what's behind it. A lot of times the idea of being perfect or trying to do something is you really want to do a great job. So there's a part of perfectionism that is well intended, which is I got to do my very best. I got to really push myself. I got to set these great expectations. And if you think about it, Bill, in our culture today, there are a lot of complaints about people aren't pushing themselves hard enough and they're not really raising the bar to do their best. But the downside of that is that people can hold actually just such high expectations that underneath it, what happens is there's this constant fear of failure and this constant feeling of I have to earn my way into people's hearts and affections. I have to earn my love from somebody, whether that's a coach or a teacher or a parent or even your boss. And then when you have that kind of fear that I have to do everything perfectly, I have to do everything right, what we know from the research is that actually ends up having a person feel more dissatisfied, chronically unhappy, can actually lead to depression and anxiety. And it actually is one of the features that I see, because I specialize in the practice of eating disorders. I see that with the eating disorder population quite often, where they have this perfectionism that has been somewhat driven by not only maybe their own genetic makeup, because that is a part of this, but also because they have such high expectations. And maybe with a lot of people, maybe sometimes those high expectations come because we can't control a lot of other things in our life. And so we try to control the things that we do, and we want them to be perfect so that we feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know, we end up feeling worse.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Linda. We're going to take a break in about a minute. But I'm guessing there's a lot of people today listening who feel a little bit sad, maybe a little bit let down, a little defeated after what happened yesterday. They feel like they might have been judged and unfairly, and they don't feel good today.
Yeah, and that can be because you do have that sense of I always have to earn everything. And so there's a lot of questions at holidays. You know, what kind of job are you getting? What are you doing with relationships? Are you successful? And those kind of questions tend to come up during holiday celebrations. And if there's this pressure to always perform, or you put that pressure on yourself, then you can be miserable in the middle of what's supposed to be a celebratory time. It can make you feel miserable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Linda, when I come back, I want to ask the difference about perfectionism and how we have a healthy sense of when we make mistakes, we don't like it. Nobody does. I don't want to completely beat myself up over a mistake, but I also am not a perfectionist. So I want to figure out what the difference is, because the perfectionist just literally can't stand it when they make mistakes, right?
Right. That's okay. Right. And there's a good distinction that we need to
good.
Make.
Good. We're going to find out what that is when we come back with Dr. Linda Mintel. It is 17 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us this morning. Thanks for listening. Be right back. It is 19 minutes after the hour. Good morning, Bill Arnold, talking to Dr. Linda Mintel, which I love to do on Mondays. And we're talking about being a perfectionist. How can you tell if you're one? And if you believe there's no room for mistakes, it's time to check that thinking and stop worrying about failure.
That's right. So let's go through a couple of characteristics.
Why don't we?
Let people think, is that me? Because these are the characteristics. So the one you just said, no room for mistakes. Here's another one. If you have a very specific manner in which you should have things done. So, for instance, if your husband goes into the kitchen and he does the dishes, and then you come out and you go, he goes, look, I did the dishes. And you go, yeah, I see that there's still some suds left on the sides of the plate.
Uh-huh.
That's probably a good indication that maybe you're being a little bit too picky about what goes on. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you have sort of an all or nothing approach to things. So, you know, this is the typical person who gets a B+ on an assignment and is just kicking themselves, you know, for, oh, why didn't I get that A? Why didn't I get that A? So it's either all good or it's not good at all.
I never thought that, just so you know, Linda.
You never thought?
I'm thinking a B+? Well, are you kidding? I can finally show my mom a report card.
See, I can relate to that one because my dad would say that. I'd come back with an A-, and he'd go, why isn't that an A?
Ooh, ouch.
But, you know, I do have a PhD, so, you know, he did push me in a good direction. Just I had to work through a few things along the way here.
Uh-huh.
Here's another one. It's all about the end result. So it's kind of like you don't care what happens in between. You just want to make sure that you get the result that you want. And if you don't, you get kind of annoyed and you get almost devastated because you didn't get the exact result that you wanted.
How do we know what the exact result should be in God's economy?
Well, we determine it. See, that's the issue. This is all about having very, very high expectations for yourself or other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this very high expectation, which the antidote to that, obviously, is that you've got to set more realistic expectations so that you're not constantly shooting for things that are just unattainable, because that's the part that makes you feel anxious and depressed. So that's a big one.
Yeah.
Here's another one. You're extremely hard on yourself. You're constantly saying, oh, I didn't do that right. Oh, what's wrong with me? And you're constantly beating yourself up. Or related to that is you become really depressed when you don't achieve one of your goals because, you know, you have to do it perfectly. And then even when you do, and this is the frustrating part of someone who's a perfectionist, Bill, is even when you do, that success just isn't enough. It just doesn't seem to get you to that place of satisfaction that you want to be. So it's a very trying place to live your life because you're always on edge. You're always striving. You're always pushing yourself. You know, you see mistakes when other people don't see them, and you just spend a lot of time trying to perfect something. And in some ways, you waste a lot of time because people that are truly perfectionists, especially at work, they miss deadlines. They don't turn in things on time because it's just never quite right. And that can cause them problems in their workplace because they don't get their work in on time. So this has a lot of fallout in terms of how you live your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you do live radio, you're going to beat yourself up every day if you don't perform exactly the way you think you should, because that happens every day when you come into work.
Well, a lot of people feel that way about whatever their job is. Seriously,
mm-hmm.
they think I've got to have a great day. I know for me, and this is kind of interesting from a spiritual point of view, what I'll do is I'll have a tendency to go, oh, why did I just say that to that person? Or, you know, I didn't control my anger, or I complained about something. I just read that scripture that says don't complain. So I'll tend to beat myself up a little bit when I'm not living the, I don't want to say perfect Christian life, because intellectually I know you can't be perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. But a lot of times I don't appropriate the grace that God has given me. And I think a lot of our listeners right now are saying, yep, yep, that's me. You know, I'm constantly hard on myself, constantly going to the Lord and saying, I blew it again, I blew it again. And while it's important for us to go and to confess and repent when we sin and we're not keeping God's word, a lot of us have trouble because of this maybe more perfectionistic background that we have of accepting the grace and the love of God and knowing that he who began a good work in us, as Philippians 1:6 says, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we know that we're not perfect and we can never be, and yet we still have that tendency to not appropriate that grace that Christ has so wonderfully given us.
Mm-hmm. Linda, when you talk about all or nothing terms, I guess another way to say that would be black and white thinking, which certainly is a little bit of the way my brain works. But it's also very difficult as Christians because we sort of, well, we do know the truth, and we're going to be unwavering with that. But we also take some of those unwavering truths that we believe spiritually and apply them in our personal life, and they just don't work as well, do they? Because you do need some gray area.
And again, yeah, there are always, you know, every situation is a little bit more complicated than it's just this or this, you know, even though you know, like you said, even though you have a, you understand the principle. And again, remember, as we're dealing with people, we want to speak the truth in love. And I think that's where we a lot of times get in trouble. We're not doing it in love. We're either not doing it in love for ourselves in terms of, you know, self-acceptance because God has accepted us, or we're not being loving to the other people. We're just judging them rather than, again, giving them the grace. So you can have a conversation with someone. You can say, look, come here, let's talk about this. You know, this isn't the way we're supposed to behave based on what we know about Scripture. But that's a very different conversation than saying, yep, you did it wrong. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. Stop that. You know, and judging them that way. So this whole business of grace, when it comes to struggling with striving or too high expectations or perfectionism, whatever you want to call it, this point of grace that, again, you don't have to earn the approval of God. Even when we mess up, he gives us his grace and he continues to love us no matter what. And that's the underlying thing that people need to get, is that you are loved, whether it's by your family or by God. You want to be loved unconditionally and then work on those things that you need to work on, but not be beaten over the head with them in a very judgmental way.
Linda, that is such a gentle message of grace and mercy. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know there's a lot of people that heard that this morning that kind of are sighing a big sigh of relief. Ah, thank you, Linda.
Thanks. It's always my pleasure. And again, this is something I'm working on too, Bill.
I get
to
it.
Always think about the grace of God and what he does for me. Repent, but then move on and move forward.
Love it. Thanks, Linda. Have a great week.
All righty. Take care.
Yep, you
bet.
It's 26 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, after some news, we're going to talk to Dr. Richard Land about technology and everything else in between. Be back in a minute.